for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 3rd, 2002. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Well, we were teaching on a lot of things upstairs, so this morning when I got up, the Lord gave this to me to share. And I'm going to start with binding and loosening. But I want to share on binding spirits, ruler spirits. You know, we talk about warfare. We've been learning about the kingdom and how to walk on into kingdom in the presence of the Lord and under the anointing. But we got to get rid of all of the spirits that are keeping us out of the kingdom and keeping us from where God wants us to be. But also, we need to do warfare in the heavenlies. And I don't know of many people that do warfare other than on themselves. And we need to fight the enemy in the heavens. We need to bind also in ourselves and in our children and so forth. But let's look at some of the spirits that we're fighting. Every one of these that I'm going to name this afternoon, I have dealt with in deliverance. And I've seen people set free from them. So as the Lord leads and however He leads and whichever way the Spirit goes, that's the way we're going to go, okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, Lord, and we ask, Father, for You to just anoint us and let the Word come forth that You want, Lord. And I just depend upon You, Holy Spirit, to bring to remembrance those things You would have me to share. And I thank You, Father, for Your love and mercy. I thank You for Your grace, Father. I thank You that Your mercies are new every morning. And I thank You, Father, for Your love. And now, Father, as we begin to share the Word, I ask You, Father, that You would just send Your angels in and cleanse this church, drive out every spirit that's in here from deliverance. In the name of Jesus, I bind principalities and powers over the church. I bind every hindering spirit. I bind the spirit of deafness, the spirit of drowsiness and sluggishness. In the name of Jesus, I loose, Father, within each of us an alertness that we'll be alert and attentive to Your word, not my words, but Your words, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask You to give us eyes to see with, ears to hear, and a heart to receive, in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Father, for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you will, open your Bible to Ephesians, and let's go to Ephesians 3. This morning when I was sitting at the table before the tree fell, the limb fell, I was looking at some scriptures in Ephesians. You know, when I first came to the Lord and really received from the Lord taught me how to pray with praying the scripture. And I would pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, and I'd pray Ephesians 3 and Colossians and Philippians, different scriptures the Lord gave me. Because you see, it's God's Word that brings life and brings light within us, and the Word builds faith. And so I praise the Lord for it, for the Word and what God, how God reveals truth to us. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, well, let's start at verse 8. Paul's writing this. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." He said, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been in hidden God who created all things in Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." He said that we, when I read this, I see that God is saying that we need to take our authority that God's given us and let the devil know that we know our authority and how to fight him and all his demonic forces. And, you know, we say we know that. We say that we believe this. But, you know, if we believe it, we'll do it. We need to bind. We need to bind the enemy. I see very few people binding. They said, well, I bind. And I said, well, you do? Well, great. How often do you bind? Well, I bound, you know, last week or whatever. But, you know, binding to me is something that if I have something attack me physically, I start binding it and commanding it to go. Everything that has a name has to bow to the name of Jesus. Over in Philippians, it tells us that. It said that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That beings in heaven, things in earth, beneath the earth. And there's another one. There's another one over in the Old Testament that talks about it. Well, if we really believe that, and people say, well, you're being too demon conscious. Let me tell you something. Somebody better be. Because the devil is trying to take over, and we don't fight him like God wants us to. See, you give him an inch, and he'll take a mile or two. And so I don't mean to be devil conscious, but I think what I'm saying is we need to be aware that we've got an enemy. And we need to say, hey, you don't have any right here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Because, you see, it's the name of Jesus that the devil has to obey. He doesn't have to obey me, but he has to obey that name when I speak it. Because God's given me authority. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know my authority comes from the throne room of God because I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven. Far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. And when you know that you know that you know, nobody can take it from you. I think we went up this afternoon over everything, almost everything came around. But we had a good time. Amen. So, but I want you to stop now. I want you to think about who you are in Christ. You gotta know that you've got authority. And it's only in his name that we've got authority. He said he's given us authority. He said over in Luke, in the 10th chapter of Luke, verse 19, he said, behold, I give you power over all authority. That word power, it says, is authority over all A-L-L of the power of the devil. People get afraid when you mention demons or you mention the devil. Well, don't talk about the devil, you know. Somebody better talk about him, uncover his work. Somebody had, because you see, if we're walking around blinded, that's what we've been doing for years. Because look what's happened. And so God is trying to wake his church up to be the, you know, the Bible is the book of war. And God says, you are his battle axe.
That's right.
We are God's battle axe. And the battle axe does battle. And it battles, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting powers of darkness. And so we need to take our authority and trample upon our enemy and dislodge him. He's tried to steal our kids. He's done a good job of stealing. He's broken up homes. He's caused divorces because people have left God out of their lives. And so God is saying, hey church, wake up. I've called you to war. We want to walk on in to the power and authority. I was telling the ladies upstairs that God has been bringing me into fellowship, real fellowship with him, and I praise God for it. And I said, you know, God, whatever it costs, I just want all of you, more and more of you. I want to walk there. And so he's been teaching me. But he's also wanting us to do the warfare that he's called us to do. Nobody's going to do it for me. He told me to go and tell. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm telling. And I always say, well, I don't like this book. I just read it. And so when I give you a scripture, it's not me, but it's his word. So he says here that we're to let the principalities and the powers and the that be in the heavens know that we know they're there. And we know how to fight them. We know how to come against them. And we're not afraid of them. So many times we're afraid of the enemy, and we don't want to be there. Okay, let's go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. What he's telling us there is that all Satan and all of his forces were created by him. God created everything. I was telling girls yesterday, I think it was, I said, did you know Satan is just a spirit? He is. He's a spirit. And sometimes we act like he's, you know, well, he's a big bad wolf or something. But you see, when you recognize who he is and the authority you've got over him, we can defeat him. Did you know that the defeat of the enemy is what will bring Jesus in back?
Right.
And if we'll get up and do our work, we'll see Christ, see the Lord come. And we'll see his kingdom reign here on this earth. He's going to reign here for 1,000 years, what Scripture says. And I want to be one of the reigning with him, don't you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, he said that all things were created by him. And you know there's a Scripture, if I was holding up, I had the Scripture and it slipped for a second. But over in Isaiah, the Word tells us that, the Scripture says, command ye me the works of my hands. In other words, when we use God's word and we command the things that God created to obey the name of Jesus, they have to obey. And I've had people say, well, you can't command God. I'm not commanding God. He says, command ye the works of my hands. Command the concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. I forget where it is, Isaiah 43, 44, somewhere is in there. But you see, God is telling us, hey, I've given you all of this, now let's work with it. Okay? I'm going to get to the spirits in a minute, and I'm going to show y'all some stuff about it. But first of all, I want you to know that you got authority, and I know that you know it here. But do you know it right here? See, it's what you have in your heart, what comes out of your mouth in abundance, the word that comes out. For instance, sickness, all sickness, is diseases are spirits. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. You don't have to believe me. But the thing is, when they come at you, for instance, you sneeze and the enemy says, you've taken a cold. No, you rebuke it. You take your, what I'm trying to show you is if you start with little things like a sneeze when your best friend next door to you will say, you've taken a cold. Then, no, I'm not. I don't believe in colds. The word says whoever you agree with is what you got. Where two agree is touching anything is yours. You agree with the devil and you got whatever he says. You go to the doctor, I gotta tell this too. You go to a doctor and he tells you, you got cancer, you got the heart trouble, you got this, you got that. Don't get in agreement with him. Two agree is touching anything. God says it shall be done. We don't think about things like this, you know, that maybe you do, but I'm going to remind you. Because everybody around me where I live has got some kind of physical problem. And they always say, my diabetes, my sinus trouble, my asthma. Well, it's not mine, and I don't want it. And I'm not on healing this afternoon, but I'm just reminding you that whatever you agree with, you get. You believe that when two agree in prayer, don't you? You believe that, don't you? Well, it works the same way when you agree with what the enemy says to you through somebody else's mouth. And Lord, I'm telling you, the devil will tell you something sometimes and send you three people to confirm it.
Yes.
They will. You know, the word tells us we are to have two or three witnesses. Well, the enemy, remember this, that the devil has got a counterfeit for everything God has given us. And he really likes to get you in agreement with physical stuff. So if you go to a doctor, listen to him patiently. You can do better than me if you do. Because first of all, I'd have to say, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to get in agreement with that. But what you want to do is inside of you say, no, I'm not going to receive that.
That's right.
You don't receive a lot of things when you know that it's not right. So remember this, that doctors are men, and they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like every other man does. When you remember that, you know they're not God. But you know what? I just thought of something. No, I didn't just think of it. I thought of it before. That if we believe God's word, like we believe doctors. I'm not coming against doctors. I'm just trying to get you to see that God wants us to believe him. But a person will go to a doctor and they accept what he says as if it's truth. Now, why can't we take God's word where he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, that I take sickness away from the midst of thee, that I sent my word and heal thee. He said his word's medicine to our flesh and healing and health to our bones. Well, that's enough. I got off that. That's my soapbox for this afternoon. I gotta get it in, though, because I want to see people begin to walk in health and healing. And I'll say this, and then I'll go on to the next scripture. Jesus has been my doctor since 1970. He's never let me down. I don't take medicine. Thank God for the word. Yes, I do. I take the word. I had an opportunity about 3 weeks ago. I got to sit on my deck out in the dampness that evening, and the enemy was saying, you need to go in the house. You're going to be sick. I said, no, I'm not. But a couple of days later, I began to cough a little bit, and one of my friends said, you need to go to the doctor. I said, I'm fine. I'm taking, I'm okay. And so the lady came, a friend of mine came back by the next day, and she said, you're better. Did you go to the doctor? I said, oh, yeah. I went to Dr. Jesus and took his medicine 3 times a day, just like the doctor would tell you, take your medicine. Girls, I'm giving you some good advice if you hear me by the Holy Spirit. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying there's a better way than the way we've always gone. I went the other way for years and years, so I thank God for healing. Okay, let's go to Matthew. I'll get off of that. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel. I see a lot of long faces, but I tell you, it's truth. You know, the Lord delivered me off of tranquilizers. Back in 1970, he delivered me off of hormone pills. He delivered me off of, delivered me from migraine headaches. So see, I know in what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking, But anyways, over in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16, I want to start reading in verse 13, if I can find it. I got a new Bible. My daughter sent me a giant print Bible. I really like it. I just don't have it marked up yet where I can find everything. In verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he talks to them, and he said, now who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, that's what the Lord is asking us. He says, who do you say that I am? He's the Son of God, the living Son of God. He's our Savior and our Lord. And we put signs up and say, Jesus is Lord. Well, is he? But when he's totally and truly Lord, he goes on to Peter here and he said, in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's saying upon the revelation that Peter had seen of who Jesus was, he was building his church. You see, we've got to see him, have him revealed to us. And I want to tell you, the reason I'm reading this before going to the next verse on binding and loosing, God taught this to me early one morning when I was still in my bed. And I said, he woke me up and he said to me, I'm going to read verse 19 in a minute. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. And I said, I know that. And then I thought, well, I'm going back to sleep, and I kind of dozed off, and then I heard it again, and he said, I said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He said it to me 3 times. So when he said it to me the 3rd time, I said, Lord, I know that, but you're trying to tell me something. So I got up, and I went into my den. I got out of the bed and went around back to the den, sat down, got my Bible, And I was looking at it, and I said, "Now, Father, what are you trying to tell me?" He said, "Read verse 13 through 18. He said, "Binding works according to who I am to you." People said, "Well, I bound it, didn't work." He said to me, "Binding works of who, according to who I am to you." In other words, a head knowledge of binding and loosing doesn't work when we try it. People say, "Well, I tried and it didn't work," and that's the reason they tried it. There's no faith behind it. And what I'm telling you, that faith, when we believe, when you speak the word of God and you know God is performing his word for you, he said he hastens his word to perform it. And that's what the Lord was telling me, but he had a reason for telling it to me. And it wasn't long till I found out what that reason was. Just a few hours. This was about 4:00 in the morning when I was up reading this scripture. Let's read verse 19. He said, "I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He said, whatever you bind on earth, he says, it's bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, it's loosed in heaven. Do you know we loose a lot more than we bind? We loose it with our mouth. We loose unbelief and doubt and fear and all these things. And the enemy uses those words against us. But when the Lord gave me this, when he woke me up and gave me this, I had a friend call me, not a friend, she's a friend too, but she was a member of our church. And she called me and she says, "Mildred, help me." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "My body is so twisted, I can't get out of bed." Well, I knew that God had given me binding for some reason, and I assumed it was her. And I said, "Well, let me bind." And I started binding the spirit. I didn't know what it was. She said, "You can't believe what kind of condition I'm in." She said, "I cannot get out of this bed. My body is so twisted." So I started binding, and I said, "Demon, I don't know who you are, but I take authority over you, and I bind you in the name of Jesus." And I just continued to bind that spirit. And she says, "Don't stop." I said, "I've got my legs loose." And you know, I don't know if you've ever seen what demons can do to a human body, but they can put it in some awful bad shapes. I have seen, no human body should be able to do some of the things I've seen it happen to them. And as I continued to bind her, she got loose. And she told me later, she said, "I woke up, said this thing had taken me over." This girl had been an incest victim when she was 4 years old. Her father had molested her. And we were working in deliverance on her, trying, you know, getting her free. And we got come down to the strong man in her. And the strong man was a ruler over 16 false personalities. False personalities are not a thing in the world, but demons. And I didn't finish this upstairs. I was sharing with the ladies. Those demons take on personalities of other people.
Right.
I've heard people say, "Well, we're going to, you know, get them all rolled into one." Well, I don't know how to do that. I cast them out. My Bible says you cast spirits out. So we had been casting spirits out of her, and we were getting real close to the strong man. And we eventually got him out too. But God set her free from all these false personalities. And all these personalities came in at different times when she would be abused. And they would take over. And it's kind of hard to explain what I learned in the area of ministering to her, that her personality was pushed down. The real her was pushed down in there. And I had asked the Lord one time about deliverance. I said, "Father, I don't understand how it takes so long sometimes with people like this that had all these different personalities there." And he said to me, and he gave me a scripture over there. He said that if he cast all of them out at one time, there would be nothing there to defend the enemy if he tried to come back. See, we had to, as we cast spirits out of her, we were teaching her the word. We were putting the word in her. She came out of a church that didn't teach the word. And so we were putting the word in her, and her real personality was beginning to grow. Have you ever heard of the spirit called arrested development? It was like God was growing her up while we were getting her delivered. And I just wish we had taken some pictures. I don't know whether they'd shown up, but when we got the strong man out of her, she came up. We were on the floor with her because most of her deliverance was real rough. We didn't know a whole lot about binding spirits at that time. We were just learning. And she came up off the floor after we got the strong man out, praising God. And her countenance was just, you could just see the glory of God on her. God did such a work in that girl, and she just loves the Lord, and God uses her in deliverance. She's still in our church. But the thing that I wanted you to see was that binding works. I've said this before I get on to these spirits. I have seen, when I was doing deliverance, binding work. A lot of people say don't talk to demons. Well, sometimes I've told you, sometimes you hear them talking whether you want to talk to them or not. They say, well, why don't you bind them? Well, I have bound spirits and got them bound where they couldn't talk. But right now, last couple of years, we're dealing with spirits that are different. They're more powerful than some of the ones we dealt with before. And they know what their end is. They'll tell you, I know what's going to happen to me. And I said, then you're not afraid of God. I didn't say that. They'd say, but I don't have to obey. They do, but sometimes it takes work to get them done. But we would bind a person to a chair. You know, if there's some of them would manifest rough. And when I'm saying rough, they would, the demon would take over. And when a demon takes over in a person's body, the person sometimes is not aware of what is going on. And so you bind them to the chair, and I bound them to the floor, the chair to the floor, so because if they could turn the chair over and touch the floor, they'd come loose. But they couldn't get loose until you loose the binding on them. That's how powerful God's word is. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what, my husband bound one right back there on the floor one time that had manifested in a boy. Like a serpent. The guy crawled out, my husband was praying for him, he crawled out of the church chair and he started just going across the floor like a snake. And he just had carpet burns on his face where he had had his face chin on the floor, so my husband bound him. He couldn't move. I'll tell you one that happened, the Lord showed me. I just want to show you how real binding is, where I just moved from. I lived in the edge of a field. I mean, there was a field behind the house and trees around the house. And sometimes I'd have these things that crawl on the ground come out in the yard. And I didn't like them. And I was out in my yard one afternoon watering my roses. And I was dragging my hose from one bed to another. And I looked, and there was this big old snake laying there under my tree. I said, oops. And I looked at that thing. I said, hey, I bind you there in the name of Jesus. You're not going to move till I come back. I bound that snake there and we got me a shovel and killed him. And when I came back, he was still there. Binding works when you believe. It's believing the word. When you speak the word, that the word, the power is in the word. It's not me. It was God's word in the name of Jesus. And the binding works. And so God is saying that we need to bind spirits like that. And I found out where those snakes were coming from. That wasn't the only snake I dealt with, but praise the Lord. Some people say, you're far out. Yeah, and I'm not coming back. I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going on with the Lord Jesus, because I tell you, he's with me day and night. He and I walk around my house just talking, having the best time, praising the Lord, you know, and sit down and say, Lord, you know, show me. And he's there. That he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Go to Matthew 18. See, I ain't forgot where I'm going. I'm going. Matthew 18. I hope I don't bore you. If I bore you and y'all get through before I do, that'd be okay. But I'm going to finish tonight, this afternoon. Praise the Lord. This long time I'm going to teach you. I'm going home Friday morning, so I'm going to share. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 18, he said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I was reading that this morning, and the Lord brought to my remembrance again, if you back up and read the first part of that, he's talking about unforgiveness. You wonder why he put this, just kind of dropped this in the middle of forgiving. Matthew 18, the whole chapter is on forgiveness. And it says in the latter part of that chapter, if you don't forgive, God will turn you over to the tormentors. So what I see when he dropped this scripture there, when he put it there, what he was saying was, if you got a heart full of unforgiveness, the binding won't work. You see that? And it shows you that we have to walk in God's love. And binding, the next verse says, where two agree as touching anything, it shall be done unto them. Let me read it. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, let me tell you something about the prayer of agreement. When you ask someone to agree with you in prayer, be sure they believe like you do. Because their unbelief can stop your prayer from working. I have people call me up and say, will you agree with me about so-and-so? And I say, no, I'll agree with you on what the Word says about what you're saying. Because I know if I agree with the Word, I know it works. And I don't really know what they're believing. You see, if there's doubt there and they're just believing you're the one's going to pray the prayer of agreement, that's one thing. But I tell them, and always when they ask me to agree, I've got to know if it lines up with the Word of God. Because I don't agree with a lot of things people want me to agree with. Of course, they don't agree with me either, but that's okay. I don't ask. That's one thing I do not do. I do not ask somebody to pray a prayer of agreement with me. Because God has taught me if I get in agreement with the Word, that's two. The Word's one and I'm two. And I don't think you can find any better agreement than the Word, because you know it's the only truth we have. He is the Spirit of truth. And you agree with what the Word says. And if you use the Word, pray the Word, you're praying a perfect prayer. You know, singing the Word is ministering God's Word back to Him. So how, you know, there's nothing greater than getting in agreement with the Word. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians. This Bible papers are so thin, it's hard to get them turned right. Oh, me. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, we have to be strong in the power of God, to know what God's Word says, who we are and what we have in Him. And He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the wiles of the devil is those little arrows and darts that he shoots at us sometimes, you know, because Paul goes on to say that to use the shield to protect us from every fire or dart. But what I want you to look at is verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting the spirits in the flesh and blood. We're fighting demonic forces that are in... We're fighting the spirits in the heavenlies. The ruling spirits are the ones in the heavens. And I want to tell you this. I don't even know if I've been doing it myself. I pray so much. I'm binding and loosing that I don't know if I've done it here. But we really need to cut the power off from the heavens when we're binding over someone. If you're ministering deliverance to someone, you need to cut the power off so they can't get aid from the heavens. I tell you, when I'm doing deliverance, if I forget to seal, ask the Father to seal the church or to cut the power off from the heavens and from the netherworld, those spirits sometimes call in aid. As I told you, we've not been dealing with just, you know, rejection, and those are powerful demons that cause a lot of problems in your life. But we're dealing with a lot of things that I believe that Revelation 9 talks about. The bottomless pit's been opened. I've had them tell me that I said, you got aid, you came from the heavens. And they said, no, we didn't come from the heavens. I said, well, where did you come from? And they won't tell me, but usually the Lord tells me. The Lord always tells me. And I said, Lord, Father, where do these things come from? And he said, they came from the pit. Okay? But we're also fighting those in the heavens, but you also need to bind. You know, when you read Revelation 9, it shows you that the enemy's always had a smoke screen so we can't see clearly of what's coming up and what we're dealing with. And that's why the spirit of discernment, we really need to pray for discernment so that we can discern and see. And we need to be really in tune with the spirit of God. You know, Howard Pittman was talking about if you don't know the spirit, you could be, you know, he was almost deceived when he died. You remember he died and came back. He was almost deceived because he didn't recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. And so we really need to discern the Spirit of God when He's talking to us, and because He will tell us, you know, when you're doing binding or doing deliverance, God will tell you. He don't tell you everything what He tells you. He doesn't tell it to you to tell who you're working on. He gives it to you so you'll know how to deal with what you're dealing with, how to handle what you're dealing with. So we need to know that we're not fighting people, flesh and blood. They may think that we are. And did you ever have somebody come up at you and just look at you with such hatred? And they didn't even know you.
That's right, yep.
And I thought, oh boy, I know who you are. And then there's times when you're out in public and you just find people are just drawn to you, you know.
Yes.
The Spirit bears witness. But these unholy spirits, they bear witness too. They want to run from you. I know that in our church, when some of the people come in that are really in bad need of deliverance, I always know, and I don't even have to look at them. You know how I know? They can't get near me. They'll walk all, if I'm here, they'll walk all the way around over there to find them a seat just as far away from me as they can. They really won't get close. I'm kind of glad because I've had a little experience with some of them when I wasn't paying any attention to them. But God is telling us we need to discern and we need to know what we're fighting. So let's go over to Daniel chapter 10. You know, we read these things that God tells us in the Word, and sometimes we just kind of let it slip. We don't, you know, dig into it. But in Daniel, in chapter 10, and I'm just going to read now some of the verses that talk about certain spirits, okay? We want to look at this spirit that hindered Daniel's prayer. Did you ever stop to think that sometimes when we prayed and we haven't got an answer that there might be some hindrance in the heavenlies? I know this is Old Testament, but you know, we don't really know the spirit world like we should. We really need to get to know the Holy Spirit and the power of God first and know what God is, that God wants to reveal truth to us. But because we have been taught and are still getting it that you don't need to do this, somebody's got to do it. And God's given us, the church, the job to do the warfare. And he said in Daniel in chapter 10 and verse 20, said Daniel, well, let me see. I'm going to go back to verse, I believe it's verse 12 I want. Let's go to verse, I'll go to verse 12. Said, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. This is the angel talking to him, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy word was heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, I want you to see that this prayer of Daniel's was being answered because of the words that he spoke. He had prayed to God. Remember, he fasted and prayed. Well, here he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but in Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remain there with the kings of Persia. Now, let's go down to verse 20. He said, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am coming to thee? And now I will turn. If you read this whole chapter, you know what it is he's coming to tell them. But I want you to look at this prince that hindered an angel of the Lord that was coming forth to bring a message to Daniel. And then he said, in verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that beholdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Did you know that Michael is the prince of the church? Talking to Daniel over in many times when I've been dealing with spirits, of course people tell me you can't do this, but you know, I don't listen to what people tell. They told me I couldn't send demons to the bottomless pit, and I'd been doing it for years and binding them there because I didn't want to have to keep casting them out. And they said, you can't do that. Jesus, they told the demons, told Jesus not to send them there, that their time was not yet. But see, after Jesus went to the cross, it was their time to be put there. And so we've been sending demons to the pit, and sometimes when I'd be dealing with a ruler demon, he'd say, you're not going to send me no blank pit. And I thought, sure, it's good to know that what you've been praying is working, and the demons are telling you, you know. I knew it was, but it was just, the demon was just confirming what we'd been doing. And I had one demon tell me one time that in that down there in the pit was our church's name was over a group of demons that had been sent there. And he was really indignant to thought that he was going to be sent there. But anyways, going on. But Michael, many times I have asked the Father to send Michael, or the angel, to fight. And the demon would say, I fought with him before. I'm not afraid of him. You see, what I'm saying is, there are times when we, according to the scripture, Hebrews 1:7 says the angels are ministering spirits sent forth. Or Hebrews 1:14 says they're sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. When we see the Lord and find out all the things we had that we're afraid to use, we're going to have to repent. But I'm telling you, I'd rather call on something that didn't, that people tell me I can't see it, or I get to see it work, than to not call for it when I need it. And I'd say, Father, would you send Michael to fight this, throw this thing out? By the way, Michael threw them out in heaven. Go to Revelation chapter 12. You know, Revelation is a book of deliverance also. It speaks much of the kingdom, but it's also a book of deliverance. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, I said, Lord, as Michael cast them out of heaven, then Lord, I need help down here casting one out. And over in Psalms 103, verse 20, the word says that angels are powerful in strength and that they hearken unto the voice of his word. And so when I call for the angels of the Lord to come and help in the ministry, I say, Lord, your word says they're ministering spirits sent forth to help those who shall be heirs of salvation. Well, I haven't received the final reward of being an heir of salvation, but I am an heir of salvation. I'm walking in salvation. They don't minister to me, but they minister for me. They help me when I have a need. Angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. People say, you worship angels. No, they're warriors. They come and fight when you ask them. You know, God's, when you were born, you had an angel came with you. I said, mine must be mighty slender. I probably worked him pretty much, you know. Listen, I know people don't care about what demons are. Let me tell you this. Sometimes it's very encouraging. I had a demon tell me one time, we'd have killed you long. In fact, not just recently, The last time I was doing real hard deliverance in my church, I had this demon manifested. He said, "We'd have killed you a long time ago if it hadn't been them blankety blank angels that protect you." And I was so glad to hear that. I thought, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you." I tell you, we've got angels around us.
Amen.
Over in Isaiah in chapter 14, I'd rather ask the Lord for a lot of things that I don't get than to never ask Him for anything. And you? But so far, you know, He's always, when I follow the Word, He always supplies when you follow the Word. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, he says, we're talking about Lucifer. Says, "How thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" Listen to what that said. We need to defeat that thing. We need to take away his power by binding and loosing the power of God. We need to stand and do the warfare that God has called us to do, to be doers of his word and not hearers only, to get up and say, "Hey, I've had enough of you." Don't tell him you hate him. He don't care. I had a lady in my church. She says, "I just hate the devil." I said, "Quit hating him and start fighting him." Hating him don't buy. He loves hate. Hate to him is love. He wants you to hate. But you know, you get up there and you're going to put the word on him and driving him out and taking away his power. He can't be everywhere at one time. He is only a spirit. And God has given us authority over all the power of the devil, over the devil and over all his power. If we'll believe, we've got it to fight him. Do you have any idea what kind of warfare went on in the trailer up there this morning when I was trying to study this, when that limb almost hit the trailer and almost fell on my car? Do you think that was a sheer accident? I don't. The devil was mad. He didn't want me to share this with you this afternoon. But I'm going to do it anyway. And we're going to take up the battle, and we're going to do the warfare that God has called us to do. And we're going to chase that booger. We're going to bind him with chains. Do you know that when you bind him with chains, over in Psalms 149, it says, with the high praises of the Lord in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, bind the kings with fetters and the thrones with fetters of iron. Bind them with chains and fetters of iron. He says it's a privilege he's given the saints. And we're the saints of God. And he said, bind them. Take away their power. Binding takes away their power. Amen or oh me. I'm telling you. Sometimes, do you ever feel like sometimes that you're out there all by yourself?
Amen.
I'm telling you that sometimes I feel like, Lord, where's all the help? Because we're in the kingdom of darkness. It's all around us, and you're the only light there. I'm a light set on the corner. I'm the little old woman preacher that lives out in a new subdivision. And I never told anyone that I was a preacher. I just preach. And I promise you that it came back to me, and they said, "Well, did she ask you to come to her church?" To one of the ladies, she says, "No." So I never met anybody like her. I didn't know whether that was good or bad, but I thought it was good. I hoped it was good. One thing I do know, that sometimes I almost have to ask people to leave. They're there so much at my house. And I try to share Jesus. I don't try. I share Jesus with them. I share him in every way I know. Even the children come to my house. We're in a world that needs the Lord. And God has put us out there. It's like I had one lady ask me, said, "Do you think God put you on this corner so you could help me?" I said, "I wouldn't be a bit surprised. He loves you." I said, "I know that when I found this house, it wasn't what I wanted. First time I looked at it, I didn't like it at all. I thought, I don't want that house. I don't like it. But I kept being, I was drawn back and went back a second time, looked at it, and I thought, well, you know. So I took a friend with me. I said, I don't like this house. I don't know why I'm back out here looking. Third time I went out there, we were walking through it. And God said, this is it. This is it. I said, Lord, are you sure? I know God was sure, but I wasn't. But anyway, we bought it. Me and the Lord bought it. And, you know, I know that I know that I know he put me there. Because I've already had them ask me, would you teach me? I said, sure, bring your note, bring your questions, bring your Bible, come on over. If it's one-on-one, I don't care. Just as long as God brings them to me. And see, he brings them to you when you're willing. So, but we've got to let them know. You got to be different. God says we're peculiar. The word says we're peculiar. If we're going along like the world and they can't tell it, if we're not indifferent, they said, well, you're no different than I am. So God is, he's calling us. But I want you to look at the enemy, he said he wants to be God. And you know that he has become God to so many people. Because today even satanic churches have a tax exemption now. They're out in the open. You know, before it used to be hidden. Deal with a few witches sometimes and you'll see some of the stuff that the enemy's doing. You'll find out some of it and you'll see what kind of a real battle you're in.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.